Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Bell Bundy as the Cat in the Hat in Seussical.
And I'm Sarah Jessica Parker as Miss Adelaide in Guys and Dolls.
And this podcast won't run a week, your bi-weekly musical theater podcast where we talk about
musicals. Musicals.
Where we talk about politics.
Where we talk about politics.
We don't talk about politics.
It's November. We really don't even try to touch politics.
No, there's a lot of things to touch.
Politics is not one of them.
Not one of them. Unless it's, like, super relevant to the show.
True.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there was something we talked about on the pod that was, like, very relevant to us.
Oh, yeah. Listeners, write in. What episode is that? I can't remember.
Those of you who are serial listeners,
yeah.
Tell us.
Yeah. Garrett,
let us know. Garrett.
We know you're Rachel. Listening. Great. How the hell are you?
I'm great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm great. Yeah. Wait, I can talk about this
you
now.
You can talk about it now. It's been announced.
It has been announced. I'm great. I just booked Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man with Tim Murray.
Slay.
And I'm so excited.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm so excited to meet him and get to, like, be in a show with a, like, comedian.
Yeah.
That's going to be so exciting.
It's going to be so nice. And it's going to be a chance to do something that, like, you haven't really been able to do in a long time, which is a play.
I know. I'm really excited to do a play. I'm really excited.
That's so
my mom said, my mom was like, you know, what I'm realizing, how wonderful it is that you got this play and how much it means to you, because someone is saying they love you for you and not just for your voice. And I was like, wow. That was
so
a really
nice.
Good observation, Jessica.
Wow.
I know.
Hey, Jess.
So.
Work. That's so great.
That's so
Congrats.
Great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm busy. I've got, you know. When is this coming out? This is coming out early November. Great. So I've got two shows that are happening in November. The first one is called Attention Crew Members, and it is a short 15-minute play about two cruise ship employees that fall in love over COVID. The kissing is me. It looks very good, if I do say so myself. And then a little bit later in the month, a play that I'm working on called Sprawl is going to be playing at the Tank. I'm very excited about it.
I didn't know it was at the Tank.
It's at the Tank. It's written by a friend of mine and directed by a friend of mine. New friends, which is crazy.
Wait, Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan is
a friend of ours.
Yeah, a friend of ours. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know Jordan from separate things.
Yeah, mutual friend from separate things. Jordan is directing and he's amazing. Well, he's co-directing with Danica, who's also amazing. And it's written by my friend Michael Ronka, who was in Assassins with me.
Wow.
Assassins. Right, yep, Assassins. He played John Wilkes Booth, and he was very good. So that's very exciting. And, you know, throwing my resume around. Hopefully someone will pick it up.
Not throwing your resume around like you're throwing your puss around.
I used to say throwing your cat around.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I'm doing, but with my resume.
I also love that you say that you used to say it.
It's true. I do still say it.
Yeah. You just say that.
Yeah. Throwing your cat around.
Just throwing your cat around. Mm.
Yeah. But other than that, I'm working, planning a wedding.
Yo.
I bought my wedding dress. I think I mentioned that in the last episode.
You did.
Yeah. That's it. I'm trying to make it through. My therapist is a little worried about me, but... You know, okay. we're getting through.
We're getting through.
We're doing. We're fine. I'm fine.
It's all fine.
Anyway, that's what's going on. I did want to talk about at the beginning a little Andy Carl news update.
Oh, okay.
So I was on Instagram a couple days ago, and I saw that an influencer I really liked named Cara Rose DiPietro is doing an industry reading of a new musical called Radium Girls, which, fun fact about me, I think that is such an interesting historical tale. And
what is that?
Oh my god. So, back in the day, they would hire women,
okay,
exclusively, like, younger women, to paint the faces of, like, watches.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, they didn't know how bad things could be. And so they painted them with, like, a radium paint.
Oh.
So it would glow in the dark.
Oh.
And to make sure the numbers could be as fine and, like, clean as possible, the women were basically told, like, just straighten out the little brush with your mouth.
Oh, my God.
And if you know anything about radium poisoning, it fucks you up badly. And they didn't know what it did at first. And then women started to get sick. And their jaws started to fall apart. And it's really bad. And then a lot of these women, like, once they figured out what was causing it, they tried to get the people in charge of those companies to be like, here's some money, we're really sorry, we're gonna change things. You know, they tried to fight for other young women,
mm-hmm,
but the companies were like, we'll do whatever we want. And so they kept... It's awful. Really, like, a shining example of... A shining example of, like, greed and capitalism and, like, how awful it can be and what happens when you don't act with humanity, when you act with greed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's... They called them radium girls.
Wow.
And, like, you don't die immediately from radiation poisoning or radium poisoning. It takes a long time. But you look like you should be dead. It's awful. But there is a show called Radium Girls. It's a musical. Cara Rose DiPietro is in it. And also, it is starring Andy Carl and Orfeh.
Oh, and Orfeh.
And Orfeh. And it's being directed by Miss Tracy Turnblad herself, Marissa Jarrett Winoker.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is so stupid.
I am obsessed with it. I don't know anything about it, but I'm obsessed with it.
I can't wait to see that.
I'm like, that one, fascinating subject matter. Two, fascinating group of people.
Fascinating
group. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Tracy. Hey, baby. Look at me.
Look at me.
I'm the radium chickie that you did see.
Yeah, so that's Andy Carl news. He's in an industry reading with his wife.
I'm so excited for them.
I am too.
So excited.
It's going to be great.
And, like, what is he going to play? Like a...
I assume he's going to play, like, a boss, like one of the bosses.
Yeah, like he's going to be, or, like, the father, a Mad Men style. Or something.
Oh, I hope he's, like, a Don Draper.
Don Draper is what, yes,
I hope he's a Don Draper type.
Also, I just have to say, so I got a text message during that.
Yeah.
Two of them, actually.
Yeah.
They were from our wonderful editor, Jackson.
Hi.
Sending me a sweet message.
Mm-hmm. I never get sweet messages sweet from Jackson. Maybe it's because my instinct is to call him Captain.
Yeah.
They can feel it. They're like, Captain, don't Jackson, call me Captain. Anyway, yeah, so that's the news. That's the news.
And that's the news, folks.
So, this episode
is sponsored by Goodyear Blimp.
This episode, we are discussing a show that I know nothing about. I know nothing. If you're like, hey, what's the plot of this show? I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I, it, okay. So, the plot of this show, I couldn't have told you the plot of the show the first time I watched it. I watched Jackie Burns,
mm-hmm,
do it. Jackie Burns was the understudy, mm-hmm, for Idina. Spoiler alert, Idina Menzel stars in this musical. Yeah. But I was like, I watched it. I could not tell you what the show was about when I watched it. I was so confused.
Yeah, I have no idea what the show is about. I know Idina Menzel's in it. I know Anthony Rapp is in it.
Mm-hmm.
I know James Snyder is in it.
Who's James Snyder?
I couldn't tell you who he plays, but I saw his name.
But who is that?
He's an actor.
Well, that's
clearly
step one.
But I saw him in Cry Baby on Broadway when I was in high school.
Oh.
And then years pass. I moved to New Jersey because it's easier to find a place in New Jersey if you're looking to settle in the city. Mm-hmm. New Jersey is a good midway point if you can't find a place. Or at least that was my experience. And he came into the coffee shop I worked at. And I was like, he looks so familiar. And then he handed me his credit card and I looked at his name and I go, you were great in Cry Baby. And he looked at me like, you saw that? And I was like, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. And he was doing In Transit at the time.
Oh.
And he was like, you should come see In Transit. And I was like, sure. I did not go see In Transit, but nope. But yeah. So
he really latches on to shows that really have a short life, don't they? Doesn't he?
He was also in She's the Man, starring Amanda Bynes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What range. A career.
A range. Yeah, he played... Was he Crybaby in that? I can't remember. But I saw him in Crybaby, and he was... Yes, he was Crybaby. He was great.
Wow.
He was great in
it. I love Crybaby.
I do, too. Oh, my God. I love that show.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about that show. But no. I know the actors that are in this show, but I don't know the plot. Well, I like the music.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know
the music.
The music.
Well, LaShawn's is also in it.
Oh, LaShawn's, of course.
And Jen Colella.
That's right. I knew I recognized that handsome voice.
Yeah. That handsome voice.
She has a handsome voice.
She does have a handsome voice. That's a great way to describe it. Okay. So, If Then.
If Then.
If Then is a crazy roller coaster of a show.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And... let's just get through it.
Yeah, let's get through it.
Yeah, okay. So, the creative team for If Then is actually pretty stacked. And it's Brian Yorkley, Tom Kitt, and Michael Grief, I think is how you say his last name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Brian Yorkley and Tom Kitt, they have worked together before on such... interesting shows such as Next to Normal.
Ever heard of it.
Hey Seymour, can you sit down? Okay. Brian Yorkley, you'll know him from, like I said, Next to Normal.
Wait, is it Brian Yorkley or Yorkie?
Yorkley is what.
Oh.
Wait, hold on.
Sorry.
Oh my god, yes, it's Yorkie. I had a typo. Well,
I was gonna say that doesn't sound right.
Yeah. Yorkie. Excuse me.
It's all right.
Thanks for that. Yeah, I had a little typo on my sheet. Well, so he's done Million Dollar Quartet. Mm-hmm. He collaborated with Sting for The Last Ship. Mm. And he adapted the book 13 Reasons Why for Netflix.
Well.
Yeah. So that's him. Tom Kitt, who wrote the score... he, fun fact about him, he graduated with a degree in economics from Columbia.
Well, now he's making money, making musicals.
He's doing his own kind of economy, isn't he?
Yeah.
the work, some of the stuff that he's done, he is a conductor and music director and, writer. So he's like, you know, triple threat. He's a triple threat and he has a degree in economics. but he was the conductor and music director for Debbie Does Dallas. He's the composer for High Fidelity.
I love Debbie Does Dallas.
I know. I was like, that is so fun that he did that. He is the composer for High Fidelity, the film score for From Up Here, which was that like movie with Anna Kendrick, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
Is that who?
I think it is Anna Kendrick.
Yeah. Anyway.
From
Up Here. While he was working on that, he was the music supervisor for Everyday Rapture. I did not know that. Okay. I love the opening of Everyday Rapture.
Yeah, iconic. See,
right? And while he was doing that, he was also the music supervisor, composer, and music arranger for American Idiot.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Isn't,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that same year, Tom Kick composed the score for the Public Theater's Winter's Tale while he was also workshopping a new musical called In Your Eyes that him and Brian did together as well.
Dude, he's been busy.
He also...
Jesus.
I know. Partnered with Lin-Manuel Miranda to write the score and musical adaptation of Bring It On.
Oh, yes, yeah, of course.
Which we talked about. So, some shared trivia between Tom and Brian. They met during their time at Columbia in the early 90s, so when mm-hmm. Tom was getting his economics degree.
Yep.
They,
a man in STEM.
Yeah, right. They won the 2010 Pulitzer Prize for Next to Normal.
Rightfully so.
And they workshopped the musical called In Your Eyes, which never did more than workshops, but it deals with the subject matter of school shootings.
Heavy.
Heavy.
They like a heavy subject matter.
They like heavy subject matter, yes. Oh. The director, so that's just like, I felt like really just honoring the body of work that these people have done.
Yeah.
Is important to know, like, I think is an important piece of context for this show.
Yeah.
And the direction was by Michael Grief. He is a three-time Obie Award winner, four-time Tony Award nom. He directed, and for the nominations he got for direction are Rent, Grey Gardens, Next to Normal, and Dear Evan Hansen.
Those old things?
Those old things. This team is also currently working on Hell's Kitchen at the Public Theater.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah.
Well, well, well.
Which I'm going to go see sometime in November.
Great.
I'm supposed to go on the 10th, but I can't anymore. But
work.
I'm so excited for them to be doing another show together and be like, oh, wait.
Wow.
Okay. So.
Were they the ones who were working on Almost Famous, or was it someone else?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Maybe it is them. Well, they're Michael Grief. He's directing the new Notebook musical, and he is also directing and directed Days of Wine and Roses.
Oh, well, he must be pretty all right then.
Pretty all right. Yeah. So that's just like some background about our composer, our team of people, because. This was not a musical that came out in a time that people were like, these aren't nobodies, right? Like, this is, they've been established. This was a process that people were like, trusted them to be like, okay, they're going to bring us a product.
Yeah.
So, it started developmental readings in 2013, and they featured Idina Menzel and were directed by Michael. They then staged out of town tryouts in DC, and they were from November 5th to December 8th, 2013.
Casual.
The musical then began on Broadway at the Richard Rogers Theater in 2014. And the rest is herstory. Yeah. So the production had, like we said, had some like really big names such as LaShawn's, James Snyder, Anthony Rapp.
James Snyder, who you're like, who is that?
Starring James Snyder and Jen Colella. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the exciting. I shouldn't say it like that. Everyone is exciting.
But those are like the recognizable names.
Those are the names. A national tour happened, and Idina Menzel starred in it again.
She must have loved doing this show.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Like, it's very different from anything she's done in her career. Mm-hmm. And she just got divorced from...
You know what?
What's his face?
Tay Diggs. Yeah, what's his face?
Listen, we loved him while he was married to Idina. And then we said, you're not so great now that you're not married to her.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I just remembered the picture of Idina and Kristen in the bathtubs. Have you seen this picture?
Yes.
Sorry. I don't know why. I was like... like oh my gosh. Sorry.
Continue. And the playbills.
And the playbills. I gotta go see Wicked again.
Yeah, I know. Garrett and I were talking about it, that we're gonna go.
I gotta go see Wicked again.
We have to. It's a 20-year anniversary.
I'm like, I gotta...
Yeah. We will go.
I have to.
I wish what they would do this year, which I don't think they're gonna do this, but I don't know. Maybe they will.
Yeah.
I wish they would bring in, like... for like a couple, like a month or maybe like a whole weekend, like big names, mm-hmm. and you just like don't know who it's gonna be. You just like
that
show
would be
up.
Cool. Like at this performance, Fiera will be played by
It's all like our favorites from over the years.
Ugh, I would kill to see Norbert Leo Butz play Fiera.
Yeah,
I would like.
Well, and then the big shebang, the actual 20-year anniversary. It's the original cast.
Ugh. I would love that.
Right?
I'd love that. Really, I just want them to make Fiero short again.
Yeah.
He's like a munchkin king, isn't he? Isn't that his, like, thing?
I don't know.
I don't remember. He's not supposed to be tall, though. I have issues with the height requirement for Fieros.
Yeah.
I have staunch issues with it.
Damn. Take it to court.
Yeah. That's my hot button issue for the day. But... anyway, yeah, Idina Menzel, that makes sense. She had just had the divorce. Yeah, this was probably a really healing thing for her to work on, then.
I bet so. I bet it was. And she got to, like, use her, like, rock sound, you know, like, really lean into her classic sound. And by classic, I mean, like, classic Idina. Not classical.
No.
Far from.
No.
So, they're also, which... I kind of forgot about this, but as I was researching this, I remembered that there was a South Korean production from December 2022 until February 2023.
Whoa.
Yeah. Huh. I remember submitting for it.
Whoa. Did you get it?
No. I was in Stranger Things.
Yeah, let's say you were busy.
I was booked.
Yeah. They asked, but you're like, I'm doing something.
Yeah.
I could always move. What's it?
I could always move dinner with myself to 9:30. But and then I could move staring into the abyss till 9:30, and then I have enough time to like sink into a lonely depression or whatever.
Into the abyss.
Into the abyss.
But what will I wear?
Oh lordy.
Oh my god.
It's not even Halloween yet.
I know. But after when this comes out, it'll be after Halloween. Mm. It'll be close around to your birthday time. Yeah, I think it'll be a couple days before your birthday. Everyone tell Slee happy birthday.
Please. Okay,
great.
So.
Work.
This show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say when it closed. This show closed it like did not run long at all. It didn't even run a full year.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I actually don't see... Excuse me, it did run a full year.
Oh,
almost
that surprises
exactly.
Me.
Yeah, that surprises me. It ran March 2014 to March 2015.
Wow.
Yeah, 401 performances and 29 previews.
Good for them.
Yeah. It is the highest charting Broadway cast recording since Book of Mormon.
Whoa.
Which is so weird.
That is so weird, because this was the first time I ever listened to it.
I know, me too.
I love Idina. Like, I really like the cast, but for whatever reason, it just didn't catch me.
Yeah.
When it came out.
Yeah. Well, and I think 2014, we saw Next to Normal in...
2010.
So, like, maybe we were still riding the high of, like...
Oh, I mean... I'll always be writing The Hive next to Normal.
Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah. No, that was pretty, that was pretty life-altering.
It's like, pretty special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Experiencing that show
Ugh.
Live. Well, anyway, this isn't about Next to Normal. But it, yeah, so it, like, it, the Cass album did well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the plot.
Great. What happens in this show?
Okay. Literally, there's two separate plots that happen within each other. So it is two timelines. It's an if timeline and then timeline. Like, it's like a...
Okay.
I shouldn't... It's not exactly like that. But it is... It is... If this were to happen, then these things would happen. That's what the show means.
Okay.
Yes.
So is it like you don't know which timeline you're going to get? Or are they doing the same... Both timelines in the same night?
Oh, that would be iconic. Is it like that?
Ooh, which one?
No, they happen at the same time on stage.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. All right.
That would be cool to see, like, which timeline. And you, like, learn two different shows.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Michael Grief, call me.
Hey. Call me. Call me. So... The basic gist of this show, before we get into, like, the two timelines, is about this woman who gets a divorce, and she's in her 40s, and she then, after the divorce, she moves back to New York City
mm-hmm.
to, like, start over.
Okay.
And she goes to New York to, like, find love or find an amazing career.
Yeah.
So that's the basic plot.
Okay.
Then we split into the two separate timelines. And her name is Elizabeth.
Okay.
And so how we separate the two different timelines is she's Liz in one timeline. She's picked the name Liz. And the other timeline, she's picked the name Beth. So when she's Liz, it's one timeline. And when she's Beth, it's she's another. The other timeline.
Okay.
Also, one of them wears glasses.
Oh, well, there you go. And the other one wears a trench coat.
She really does wear glasses as one of them.
That's... All right. All right. You know what? I reserve judgment until the end.
There we go. Okay. So, I think it's really smart the way that Wikipedia broke it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to go off with how Wikipedia does it just to, like, be completely transparent. Wikipedia broke it up in each timeline. So... It gives you the full synopsis of what happens to Liz and then the full synopsis of what happens to Beth. So okay. Then it's not like, it's not explaining both things at the same time. Yeah, that would
be confusing.
Which is confusing, even though that's what happens during the show.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Liz. So like I said, we start with she's in New York. And she runs into LaShawn's character
mm-hmm.
In the park. And they're, like, old friends. And she also runs into an old friend of hers who's been, like, in her life for a really long time. And that's Anthony Rapp. And Anthony Rapp's character, they used to have a fling.
Okay.
Back in the day. But now, I mean, she got married and blah, blah, blah. He's also bisexual.
Work king.
And he in one timeline, well, we'll get to that, but like, so he's bisexual.
Okay.
She makes, at the beginning of the show, she has to make a decision which person she's going to go with. LaShawn's character, who is an old friend of hers, who's a lesbian. Work.
Love that.
Work.
Some queer representation.
We love it.
We love to see it.
LaShawn's is like, come to this, like, this concert with me to go see this guy play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be great.
Great.
Or go to this protest with Anthony Rapp.
Okay.
I didn't even think about it till right now that Anthony Rapp was, Idina Menzel were in Rent together.
Yeah.
And he's basically playing Maureen in this show.
The Tango. Wait, what's his character's name?
His character's name?
Yeah.
Oh, in this show?
Yeah.
What is his name? I just keep calling him Anthony Rapp.
I mean, he is Anthony Rapp.
Lucas.
The Tango Lucas.
That's what's happening.
It's a dark twisted merry-go-round.
But so she's split between those two decisions.
Okay.
And then if she does this and goes by Liz, mm-hmm. then this is what her life takes her. If she goes to the protest with Lucas mm-hmm. and goes by Beth, then that's where her life is going to take her a different direction.
Great.
So let's start with Liz.
Okay.
Liz goes with LaShawn's, which that character's name is Kate, to go listen to the sexy guitar player. But she meets a handsome doctor just back from overseas. So this is James Snyder, or Josh Snyder, whatever his name is.
James Snyder.
Josh Snyder is a producer or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she runs into a doctor straight from who's in the army, mm-hmm. Who just got back, and he's like, I feel like I know you. And she's like, okay, LOL, that's such a line. And then she like brushes him off, whatever. Then she gets a phone call from a number that she doesn't recognize, but she decides not to take the phone call and continue talking to the Army Reserve guy. She then goes, agrees, and she agrees to go with Kate to Brooklyn, so then they can go to the see the band. And on the way there, Liz sees the soldier again on the subway.
Sounds like a stalker.
Sounds like a stalker to me. But
if he's handsome, then it's fine.
Right. Yes, this would be a handsome man. So then Kate insists that it's a sign that she's got to go out with this guy. And sure. So she gives her number to the army guy. And then they all go to... And then they all go to this band play. Liz and Josh, who is the army guy, mm-hmm. Meet a third time in the park, and then they finally agree to go to dinner together. She finally agrees to go to dinner with him.
Cute,
right? So like three times a charm. After the date, she tells him the statistics. About not having a chance that the two of them will have a successful relationship. But he goes, you never know. Like, let's continue. Let's see what happens. Later on, we meet Kate's girlfriend, Anne, who is played by Jen Colella.
That makes sense.
Yes. And Josh gets along really well with all of them. And so he's getting along really well with all of her friends. So then... we meet David, who is a doctor friend of Josh, and Kate is trying to set up Lucas with David.
Oh, okay. I was like, is Lucas gonna be in this timeline, or is he just like get the night off?
He gets the night off. Yes. So they finally like they get together, and this is one of the songs that gets stuck in my head. It's Ain't No Man Manhattan. Mm-hmm. Da, na, na,
na, na. Yeah.
I didn't even know what the song was about.
Oh, yeah.
Until I read the synopsis and I watched it. Anyway. So Liz finally is like ready to admit that the doctor might have a chance. And then after just spending the night with him in the song What the Fuck, which is another like iconic song from this show. It's like these, I guess, one of her.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's in her? It's a great song. But she's like giving herself a pep talk, like, what the fuck? Like, let's just do it. Like, you're already here. Just go in there. So then they have sex. And the following morning, she confesses her fears to him, but he vows that he's going to take the leap with her and that they're going to be great together. Cute. So beautiful, right? So then it's a few weeks later. It is mm-hmm. her 39th birthday party, and she finds out that she's pregnant at some point.
Rough.
And so she tells Josh, and on her birthday. And then they get married. And then Josh faces impending fatherhood, which he's excited about. And then we flash to 2 years later.
Okay, so she's 41.
Yep. And she's had a child. And they're 2 years old. Then we find out that Josh, the husband, has to leave and go to the army.
I don't like where this is headed.
Yes. So we've flashed forward a few years, and they're having this conversation. They have a second son at this point, and he says, I have to go. They're asking me to come, and I have to. And so she sings the song, I Hate You, when she finds out that he actually died in battle.
Jesus. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great.
So he died.
So I think she shouldn't pick this one.
Well, just wait.
Okay.
All right. It gets worse. No, I'm kidding.
No.
So he passes away, and then she is grieving and she's really struggling to move on. She doesn't know how to move on.
Sure.
But she then realizes that she has to be a new person every day, and she's always starting over, and she finds power in that. She then meets Kate and Lucas in the park after 5 years after the first day we met her. So wow. It's only been 5 years. And we're in the park again. And Steven, who has a job offer for her, which we'll talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to wait to say that last part.
Okay.
I'm going to read the second part, and then I'll talk about how the whole show ends.
Okay.
That's what I'll do.
Great. Work.
So we end in the park is what I'll say.
Great. 5 years later.
5 years later, we end in the park. Great. So now we're back at the beginning, and this is the other timeline. Beth decides to go with Lucas to the protest in the subway. She gets... On the way there, she gets an incoming call from an unknown caller. Upon Lucas's prompting that she should open it because she can see that it's from New York City, Beth decides to take the phone call, which she finds out is her friend Steven from grad school, who is ready to offer her a job. This person is also her ex.
Ooh.
But she picks the phone up.
Yeah.
And then turns the army guy away.
Mm.
Josh gets turned away. So they don't meet.
Okay.
So she takes the phone call instead, where before she decided to put the phone down. So she takes the phone call, and Lucas is really pissed that she's deciding that she might actually take this job. He said that he never liked this guy, Steven, and that actually Lucas has been in love with Elizabeth all this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark.
Right.
Fucking relax.
Fucking relax, Mark. So she's like, you know what, dude? No. No, we're not doing that. But then decides to go with him to the street action group, which is in the subway in Brooklyn. They reminisce on the college days, and then he kisses her. And as a result... Oh, I'm sorry. This is where the soldier... As a result, the soldier who was going to come and talk to her decides to walk away because he sees her getting kissed by
another guy.
Yeah. I know. It's shady. So, he backs off, the soldier does. Then the morning after attending the protest, Beth goes to the Department of City Planning and meets Steven to talk about the job. It is a life-changing job, and it is for the deputy director, and she's like, she takes, she says yes to it, and she then falls in love with her job. Lucas and the protest, are, they're on the side, the west side of the, they're over on the west side, and, Beth is overseeing a project that's happening over on the west side.
Okay.
Yep. So they're like, you know, all of everything is connected somehow.
Of course.
Everything is, right?
Just like life.
Just like life. And the project does, it goes through and it gets passed by city council. And then Beth, Steven, and then the rest of the Department of the City Planning celebrate the completion of the city council project in the song Ain't No Man Manhattan, which we, you know.
Okay.
We have a lot. Yeah. Beth and Steven then prove that they're great partners together, so they decide to get together.
Okay.
Yeah. And Beth and Lucas hook up in the song What the Fuck. The following morning, Lucas...
Wait, Beth and... Lucas?
Yeah.
Hook up.
Remember, this is all happening at the same time.
Yes.
So the songs have to be happening.
Yes, but she and Steven are like, wow, we're such great partners.
No. Not during What the Fuck.
But that happens right before? Or, wait, I'm so sorry. Are Elizabeth and Steven together?
In the other timeline.
No, not Josh. Steven. The job guy.
No.
Okay. I was confused. Never mind.
Oh. No. They used to date.
Yes. Okay.
It's Lucas.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was like, is there a third man in this? Nope. Just the two. Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm in.
There we go. So he wants to be more than friends with Lucas, which in this sweet little song, Lucas says to her, you don't need to love me the way that I love you.
I loved that song.
Oh my God. What a touching thing to say.
I know. I was like, oh, that's so sweet.
That's so sweet.
That's so Sam-coded.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very Sam-coded. But so that's just such a lovely song. She gently sends him on his way. And then Kate and Anne, who are her friends, along with Beth's new protege, Elena, convinced Beth not to quit her job, but to seize a opportunity to become the director of city planning. So like to move up in her career.
Yes.
Right.
Career queen. Like, girl boss.
Yes. Girl boss. So Beth is a girl boss.
Mm-hmm.
At a birthday gathering. So, you know, we're at her 39th birthday now. Beth confesses to the women that she is pregnant.
Ooh.
With Lucas's child.
Ooh, yeah. No.
Yeah. And before she can tell Lucas that she's having a child, he proposes to marry her. So he doesn't even know that they're pregnant.
Whoa.
I know.
He's a fast mover.
We then see her... not pregnant and alone. And she's walking by a wedding and wondering if she'll ever meet the man she's meant to love. 2 years later, she meets Lucas in a park, and we learn that they haven't spoken since she had an abortion without consulting him first. Yeah. So...
Well?
Beth tries to mend their friendship, but Lucas has many regrets and walks away. And Elena leaves Beth for another opportunity to have a husband and a baby. And Beth is then reunited with Steven, who wants her to come work with him again and possibly more. So now there's the third. Yeah. Now
Boo.
Steven gets brought in.
Boo.
You knew that's where it was going, which is why you thought it already happened.
Boo.
I know.
Okay. I know. No, not boo. Okay.
So she turns him down.
Good girl.
But reflects on the life that she has made for herself after a routine business trip turns terrifying when her plane to London makes an emergency landing in Portland, Maine. Beth calls Lucas and insists that they belong in each other's lives. Lucas discloses that Kate and Anne are facing a crisis in their marriage and are considering a divorce, so she rushes home to be with Kate and Anne, urging them to love while you can. And then some weeks later, Beth meets her friends in the park. So now we're at the end again.
Mm-hmm.
She's at the park telling them that she's decided to run for city council and to start over. But the minute, so this is the end, this is this ending. And then I'll tell you the Liz ending in a second. So as soon as she's decided to start over, a handsome doctor approaches just back from his third tour overseas. And he asks her out. And in this moment, in this life, she says yes to the doctor. In the Liz ending, yeah. Luke, so Josh dies.
Yeah.
Right?
I remember that, yeah. Yeah,
remember that. So they're in the park 5 years later. She reconnects with her old grad school friend, Steven, mm-hmm. who the phone call she misses from the beginning. Steven then offers her a job, a great one, and she accepts it. And then she's ready to start something new.
So it really doesn't matter what she chooses.
Everything will work out the way it's meant to work out.
Aww.
Is the point of the play.
Okay, that's kind of nice. I kind of like that. I have no clue. I have no idea how you would stage this show. I don't understand from a synopsis how you would make it clear what's happening.
So I was very confused watching it, right?
Sure.
And listening to it is like listening to chaos if you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But then once you know what's happening, then it's like a little less chaotic.
Yeah.
The way they do it is they literally just have the scene happen up here and like, oh, this is what it would be. And then they walk off and then they'll be like, where is Liz/Beth? Like, where is she? And then Idina Menzel's changing a jacket or something to come back on as like Liz or Beth and then do the other scene.
There's got to be a better way.
That's what.
Night one, night two.
That would be really cool.
That's what, look. Tom Kitt, Brian Yorkie, Michael Groot, call me. I'll help you put this together.
It's a great idea.
I think it's the only one that makes sense.
Not the way you already did it.
I mean this in the most respectful, loving, kind way that I can. I don't understand how you make this work. I don't understand. I have questions. I have comments. And I have concerns. My comment is, this feels like a great idea. But I think, I don't know that it works in practice. Although maybe I'm wrong.
I think you should watch the Jackie Burns version. There's also a version in DC with Idina and Anthony Rapp and the original cast.
Maybe I'll watch that.
It's the pre-Broadway DC version.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pre-Broadway DC version.
Mm-hmm.
You should go and watch the pre-Broadway DC version with Idina and all of them.
Yeah.
It is a lot easier to follow once you have a grasp on the material, once you understand what you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
But going in blind
is
like, what? Like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
And so it is just like an there's no real, like, melodies to hang on to all of the music is very jam-packed.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of material in every aspect.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm just thinking there's got to be a way to, like, rework it. Because I do think that it's an interesting idea of looking at, like, you know, theatrically. Because I'm sure movies have been made that do the same thing. Where it's like, if you chose to do this, this is what would have happened. Or if you chose to do that, this is what would have happened. So I think doing it on stage is very interesting. But I just think that there's got to be a better way. And maybe it's the one night it's one thing, one night it's the other thing. Maybe it's having two women play the same role. Yeah, I don't know how you would stage this. I think you could do a night one, night two thing. I also think you could do a, like, Elizabeth is played by two people. And then it's physically splits between Liz and Beth. And then maybe at the end, because she's still the same person, maybe at the end,
Liz and Beth make out.
Liz and Beth make out. Or the actress who plays Liz gets Beth, goes on for Beth's ending. And the actress who plays Beth goes on for Liz's ending.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't know. It's an idea. I would need to read the script. Should I get a master's in directing?
Maybe.
Maybe. Did I look it up earlier today? Yeah, I did, actually. I was like, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe, but John.
Do I have any credits? Nope.
Nope, not one.
Not a one.
It's okay.
But I'd be pretty good at it. Anyway.
I think so.
I think it's a very interesting show. I would like to see it. Yeah. Now that I know what's happening, I think I would be okay. And I think, but I also don't think that, I don't think that you should be like, yeah, if you know what's happening, then.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, like, maybe, when I'll say to people, like, oh, we're doing If Then this week, they're like, oh my God, I love If Then. I've had a couple people say that.
Okay.
Well, maybe they didn't say I love it. They were just like, oh yeah, If Then.
Yeah.
As if they, like, really enjoyed it. And yeah, there's some stuff that they, like, love. But those people also, I started talking to them. I was like, okay, what do you love about the show? And most of those people said Idina Menzel.
Sure.
It's like the Idina Menzel-ness of it. It's not the show. It's her.
It's a great role for her.
It's a great role. Well, and again, it's like, she's getting to do something that's, like, just her existing on stage in a way that she's not really gotten to do in her career.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what she's done. She's done these, like, larger-than-life people.
Yeah, it is nice to see her, like, grounded.
Yeah.
Even Maureen is, like,
Maureen, Kate,
Elsa, Elphaba. Like, yeah. Even her just character, like, a human in being. Fucking, like, Enchanted is kind of,
yes,
over the top. Interesting. Yeah, it's a,
this feels like the what happens after Enchanted.
Yes, after she gets divorced.
Yep, from Patrick Dempsey.
Or after she gets divorced from James Marsden, is like, I'm going back to New York.
Yep.
I can't do this
where
anymore.
Where she came from.
Yeah.
This is Disenchanted. Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't.
Well, it's this.
I don't
Spoiler
need to.
Alert. It's If Then.
I don't need to. I listened to If Then, and you told me the whole story. I did.
I also am just like, the amount of stuff that happens in both times. The fact that, like, these two timelines have
jam-packed
to have something climactic happen, and they both have multiple climaxes happen at the same time, is very hard to, like, take in.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do I care about? Like, who? There's just so many characters all existing.
Yeah. And I understand that you have to have all these extra characters to, like, fill out the world. But yeah, I want to see it before I pass any, like, true judgment on it. But also, I'm like, how do you even do this show?
Yeah, I mean people don't. I mean, like, it's 2014, like, it's 10 years ago almost.
Yeah.
And no one has really done it.
Yeah, rough.
Yeah,
rough.
I also, like, hot take, like, I don't think these are Idina's best vocals either.
No, I think she sounds great.
I think she sounds great too.
I don't think these are her best vocals. I will say, there were moments listening to this where I was like, Oh, that sounds, that's a next to normal. That mm-hmm. sounds like oh, next to normal.
A lot of it is. There's a song there's that like a little, Josh like, sings.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a song that Josh sings. I can't remember which one it is now. I think it's like the Take a Chance on Me.
Mm-hmm. Take a chance, take a chance.
No, it's the like, you are like, give me a, like, take a chance and like marry yeah. me or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Or be my girlfriend.
Will you be my girlfriend?
But it's 100% pulled straight from the dad's material in Next to Normal.
Sure. Oh, James Snyder would be good for the dad in Next to Normal, yeah. actually.
Yeah.
Actually.
Well, and I love how, like, rock forward this mm-hmm. musical is, because yeah. it's like a true rock musical.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that. It is a contemporary rock musical.
Yeah, but it feels more rock than contemporary to yeah. me.
Yeah. And it takes trained singers to be singing this score.
Yeah.
In a way that I don't even feel Next to Normal Next to Normal is a challenging score, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
it's the, like, breath support that it takes to get through the lines mm-hmm. of the if-then music. There's just really long
yeah.
through lines.
Phrases,
yeah. thank you, that you have to get it's through. True. And, it's true. And it moves a lot, and it's high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a tricky show. I mean, I can tell just from listening to it. I'm like, oof.
Yeah.
You had to be, like,
tip-top shape.
It. Yeah. I would also be interested, like, what would it be like to play Elizabeth?
Having
to navigate, like, how do you, as an actor, create that separation of this is Liz and this is Beth for yourself?
With a pair of glasses.
But, like, actually, how do you do that? Like,
yeah.
in a way that is meaningful. Because these are now two different women.
Yeah.
But they're also the same woman, so they have to have some grounded...
I mean, you just have to have, like, a real, true, like, understanding of your character's motivations, not the actual, like, plot. You have to have an understanding of her, so then when the why does change, or there are a lot of whys, you can react impulsively rather than... literally.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It just takes a stronger understanding of the character. That must be really difficult.
Yeah. I will say, of the two endings, I think I would rather have, I think it's Beth's ending, where she meets the doctor at the
yeah.
end.
Yeah. You have yeah. that amazing career.
You get an amazing career. No baby. And then you get to meet a hot doctor? Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah. You don't have to go through the grief.
Yeah. No. The idea of, like, losing a husband
and then, like, working the rest of your life?
No, that sounds awful.
No.
Liz really gets the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's dreamcast.
Let's dreamcast.
Let's do this, bitch. So I dreamcast this without knowing the story. So I did Elizabeth, Kate, Lucas, and Josh.
That's great.
Great.
That's actually perfect.
I just picked the top four characters yeah. on the Wikipedia page. Do you want to start with Elizabeth, or do you want to start with one of the other three?
Let's start with Elizabeth.
Great. So, for Elizabeth, my first thought was I would love to see Elizabeth Stanley play this role.
Yeah!
I would love to see her do it.
I completely agree.
I think she would be great.
Yeah, it's a perfect role for her.
It's a perfect role for her. I also would love to see Sherry Renee Scott play this role.
Ooh,
it would be a little bit different.
I would love that.
But I would love to see either of them do this. I think they would both be great.
What the fuck would be great?
It would be great.
Yeah.
And she's... Idina Menzel is phenomenal. Sherry Renee Scott has this, like, edge about her that Idina doesn't quite have.
Idina's not funny.
Sherry Renee Scott is, like, wickedly funny.
Yes.
And I think it would be fun to see that in this show.
Well, so similarly, I love that, and I totally agree with you, which is why it's interesting to see Jackie Burns do it, because Jackie Burns is really wickedly funny as yeah. well. I would love to see oh my god, every name just flew just out of my head. Lindsay Mendez.
Yes.
I would love to see a Lindsay Mendez. It's when she's older, of course. She's not. She's getting there.
She's almost there.
But yeah, she still just like has a youthfulness to her.
She does.
But I think bump up Jen Colella.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jen Colella would be great in this part.
Yeah. I'd see Jen Colella read the phone book.
Yeah.
I think she's so interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, those are my two, Lindsay Mendez and Jen Colella. Well, and I thought about Elizabeth Stanley and Heidi Bleckenstaff.
Oh, Heidi Bleckenstaff easily added to the list. Yeah. Yeah, Elizabeth Stanley was my gut instinct.
I genuinely agree.
Ugh.
Well, great. It feels like a Jagged Little Pill, like...
It does.
...level of it does. Intensity.
And when she popped into my head, I couldn't quite put my finger on why. I was just like, oh, yeah, that feels obvious to me. But Jagged Little Pill, yeah. Great. So for Kate...
April Nixon.
Absolutely. Tracy Toms.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, who's my favorite lesbian actress on Broadway?
Yeah.
Tracy Toms.
Tracy Toms.
Tracy Toms.
Yeah, I think April Nixon would.
Oh, eat. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And in 20 years, Courtney Carter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I texted Courtney when I started listening to this. I was like, there is a role.
In 20 years.
In 20 years that you and I will play opposite each other as.
It's going to be so great.
I will be Jen Colella and you will be LaShawn's. And we will be in love on stage.
Get excited.
Get excited.
She's
get
like, it. Who is this? Oh, who is this?
Who is this? yeah.
Great. Love it. Lucas.
Lucas, I have a gut instinct for.
Love it. I want to hear it.
John Gallagher Jr.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I know. I would never have thought of him. I love that, though.
Any reason why? What is he? He feels like an Anthony Rapp to me, where it's like, he had a moment.
That's true. That's true. He played Moritz, right? No, yeah, Moritz. Yeah. He played Moritz. This is a Moritz.
He's also in American Idiot.
Sure. Spring Awakening is a little fresher in my mind right now. Sure. But oh, Lucas is definitely a Moritz track.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Yeah. I'm into that.
Yeah.
I'm into that. My first thought, Adam Chandler Barat.
Oh, that's
when he's
good.
A little bit older. He's a little young for it now, I think. But yeah. I think he's great. I also, and I know that he was in the cast. I think he played David. Jason Tam.
Mm-hmm. He was in the cast, yes.
I think that Jason Tam is such a phenomenal actor.
His voice is crazy.
His voice is crazy. Have you seen, I'm sure you have, his audition for the A Chorus Line revival?
Oh, is
for
Paul?
Paul?
Yes, of course.
I'm like, you could do anything you wanted.
I didn't realize that was him.
Yeah. Pick the jobs. You can have whatever job you want.
Wow.
Yeah. He's phenomenal. I'm pretty sure it's him. If it's not him, I'm going to be really embarrassed. I'm going to look that up, actually.
Yeah.
I was right.
Okay, good.
Ha-ha! Ha-ha! A llama. He's supposed to be dead. Great. Last, but certainly not least, Josh. I had a gut instinct with this, and I was like, Joshua Henry.
Oh.
That's a Joshua Henry role.
I love that.
I think he would be, oh, I think he's such a, like, leading man. He's so warm and inviting, yeah. And.
Which is why he was great as Gaston.
Yeah, which is why he was great kidding. As Rapunzel's prince.
No, that is why.
But, like, it's funny to see him, someone who is so warm and inviting, play someone like Gaston.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's why his fucking Bill in Carousel was so complex. Yeah. Watching someone who you love and trust, like, mm-hmm. be a character like that, it makes sense to cast someone like him because you that is a role to. You have to have conflicting emotions
you
about.
You have to. Yeah. I
love that casting.
Yeah. I love him. I can't wait to see what else he does.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a very long career ahead of him.
Absolutely.
He's in the peak of his career right now.
Yeah.
And it's just going to keep getting better because he's going to get, he's like a fine wine. He's going to just get better with age. He'll be a Sweeney one day. He'll be.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see his Sweeney.
Have we talked about the rumor?
We've not. Let's talk about the rumor real quick. Wait, do you want to, wait, you cast your Josh and then we'll talk about the rumor.
Oh, I don't, Andy Carl is like. Sure. I mean, like, that's.
Yeah, I think Andy Carl.
I think Andy would be a great. I do
genuinely think Andy would be great at this. Great. So let's talk about the rumor. Josh Groban and Annalee Ashford have both announced their.
And Gaten Matarazzo.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
November 5th.
Rough.
He's coming to my birthday party. He's not going to do that show. He's coming to my birthday.
So, Annalee Ashford and Josh Groban are leaving in January. And there are rumors. These are rumors, but they are from a source that feels pretty trustworthy to me.
Well, I've heard it from more than one source
and
now.
And it's been multiple sources that they're going to be replaced by, and this is absolutely insane to me. I can't believe that I'm about to say this. So for Sweeney Todd, they're going to replace Josh Groban with Aaron Tveit. And then for Mrs. Lovett, they're going to be replacing Annalee Ashford with Sutton Foster. Now, if you had asked me when I was 16 years old, who would you dream cast in Sweeney Todd? I probably would have said them, because I didn't know any better. Maybe not 16, maybe like 13.
Actually, them, yeah.
Yeah.
Those two
specifically
people.
Specifically them. So if I was like 14, I would have been like, that's perfect casting. Now I know what vocal parts are, and I don't, I love both of them individually. I don't love this casting for either of them.
No.
I don't. First of all, I want my Sweeney to be a baritone.
I also want my Sweeney to be older.
Older, yeah.
I think Josh Groban's too young.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like,
where is Lea Salonga?
Lea Salonga is the perfect age to be playing Mrs. Lovett.
Yes. What? Is Sherry?
Where is Sherry? You know what? I mentioned this in our Sweeney episode. Where's Toni Collette?
Where is Toni Collette?
SAG's on strike.
Yeah.
You know what would be a great way to fill your time? Come back to Broadway.
Yeah. She's like, I'm in Australia with my family.
And I'd be like, what if you came to New York?
And play Mrs. Lovett.
And play Mrs. Lovett. Opposite a guy from Florida. Yeah, I think that's absolutely buck wild casting.
Yeah,
I can't believe it,
and I can't wait to see who's gonna go on tour with it, because you know they're gonna do big casting for that.
Yeah,
too.
I can't wait to see how the Sweeney Todd story evolves.
Yeah, we're gonna get some crazy casting of that.
Yeah, they really are. Like, wow, Into the Woods did really well. We should do that with this.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Which is kind of a bummer. Because with Into the Woods, it felt kind of organic.
Well, because it was also like a fresh idea and whatever. We haven't had something like that in our generation of musical theater. So that was a really cool thing to see, like, this concert that was, like, taken in a direction we've never really seen before with this beloved piece of theater.
Mm-hmm.
And now it just is, like, that was so organic, like you said, but this is not so organic. And it's also Sweeney, which feels very, like, cut and dry in a way that Into the Woods isn't.
Sweeney Todd is very different than Into the Woods. Yeah, so we'll see, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
There is a world where I think Sutton's Mrs. Lovett is going to be her little bit of, like, a comeback. I think maybe she's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be brassy, which isn't great.
Sure.
I'm so grateful for that. Like, I want a brassy Mrs. Lovett.
Sure.
The accent is not going to get better.
No. You know what? I am pretty sure I could be wrong. I'm not going to look this up before I say this, so I could be wrong. I am pretty sure that Aaron played John Wilkes Booth in a production of Assassins.
Okay.
So maybe he'll bring that energy.
Yeah, I mean.
Which I would be more open to. I do still think he's too young looking.
He's too young.
He just, and like, it's not his fault.
No, he's just not old enough yet.
He just needs like 10 more years.
Yeah. Let him play Pirelli.
Let him play Pirelli.
He would be a great Pirelli.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Let him play Pirelli.
Bryce Pinkham should play Pirelli.
Yeah.
Damn, I should have said that last week.
It's okay. Bryce Pinkham.
I was so taken away by you saying that I should play Pirelli.
You should. I stand by that.
I know you do. Oh.
And on that note, I think that's the end of our recording. So you just spilled something. So that's it for this episode. We hope you liked it. Rate, follow, like, subscribe, and all that.
If you didn't, then fuck off.
If you didn't, don't tell fucking anyone.
Get it? If then.
Oh, right. I thought you were doing the like Mel Brooks thing where it's like, if you like the show, tell everybody. And if you don't, keep your damn mouth shut.
Oh, no, no, no.
That
it was a play on the thing that we just talked about.
I thought you were doing the Mel Brooks thing that the guy from Theater Alliance stole in his curtain speech. Did you ever catch that?
I did not.
Anyway,
know that.
Anyway, whatever. Thanks for listening. Next episode is going to be Bullets Over Broadway.
Bullets Over Broadway.
Pew, pew, pew. Okay, Seymour, bye.
Seymour, do you have anything to say? Okay, goodbye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening to This Podcast Won't Run a Week. If you'd like to support us, be sure to rate, review, follow, like, and subscribe wherever you listen. If you're interested in additional very cool content, you can head over to patreon.com/thispodcastwon'trunaweek. You can check out all of our social media information as well as performance links in the description of this episode. Thanks for listening. We love you lots. Goodbye.